Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Radio
Hello?
Land. This is Brother Baba Watafa, father of many nations. This is Brother Michael Washington right here in Oklahoma City. We're going to do a little bit of show tonight about racism here in the United States. And our question is, does systemic racism still exist here in the United States? Again, you got Brother Baba Watafa right here, father of many nations here in Oklahoma City. We're going to be doing it like we know to do it, and we're going to let everybody know that we're not going to play, we're not going to bullshit, we're not going to play around, we're going to get the topics right out in the corner, in the street, and let everybody know that this is your station. I am simply the host with the most, simply putting down the ideas that are here for you and designed for you to purposely get in mind how you feel and how we need to continue to fight this systemic monster called white, so-called white supremacy here in the United States. So again, y'all, we're definitely going to appreciate everyone for tuning in tonight. Let me say just a little bit before I ask some of our guests to get on board. First, we want to thank the brothers here tonight that's here with us so far, Brother Curtis. And Brother, what is your name again? I don't want his nickname, Brother Brown. I know, but is it?
Yes, sir, Brother Will. Brother Will.
Brother Will. Okay, yeah. So, again, we got Brother Will and Brother Curtis. Our sister may have to be shortly. She just called in and said she'd be a little late, as well as Brother Omar up there in Denver, Colorado. So we're going to just try to get it done to where you brothers and sisters out here in radio land can feel that, again, being your host with the most, we're going to give you what you've been looking for and what you've been planning on and what you think need to happen and shall happen. All right, having said that, tonight's topic is about systemic racism in the United States. Now, when we talk about systemic racism, we're talking about a systematic program, agenda, outlook, and policy designed by the wicked United States government to totally plummet and derange, dehumanize, and actually fatally shoot and kill African Americans here in the Western Hemisphere as if we're just slaughtered cattle. So again, we want to let everybody know that this is a very serious topic that we want to talk about. And while we're talking about the subject tonight, let me just say that there were more than 250 black women actually and people of color killed here in the United States by the racist white supremacist government through their police agencies. So again, this does not include the repeated, often returned killings of African Americans here, men here in the Western Hemisphere. And again, this is not something that's actually new, because it is actually doing even before the civil rights era, even before the aftermath of Reconstruction, which is after the Civil War. Blacks were beginning to be slaughtered more so on the street corners, in their houses, in schools, on the street, in their neighborhoods, and so forth and so on, as if it was just the thing to do. And again, you had so-called white supremacists who were deputized by white supremacist government, who in themselves clearly mandated that any black was at free will. They could just be trampled on, killed, shot, maimed, and done what they feel that any black man had no right, according to Dred Scott decision in 1856, where the Supreme Court stated that no black man has any right or entitlement to any constitutional rights or mandates that any white man should recognize. So now when you think about the highest court in the land talking like this here, Brother Curtis, I think we got a big issue here. What do you think about that?
I think we have a big issue with racism and white supremacy. That's the, what are those people? And and Queen Isabella Spain. They captured the first Africans off the northern coast of Morocco, and they took them back to Spain for the slavery.
Excuse me a minute, bro. Somebody got the TV up loud. I can barely overhear you. Somebody's got the TV or something going on. I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah. Off the coast of Morocco, the Blackamoors went into Spain and straightened Spain out. And as soon as they got it straightened out, Queen Isabella ordered Spanish shippers to make slaves
out of Moroccans.
Moroccans took them across.
Yeah, took them across the ocean and sold them. The thing that I'm trying to, the talk that we're having tonight is it seems like it would be a very simple conversation, but it's
complex.
It's complicated because so much bullshit has been written off into it, and people are reading.
Sure, sure.
They don't understand what it is that they are reading.
That's
racism.
Right.
Racism is the foundation of capitalism. Capitalism is what slavery. You capitalism.
That's what it was founded on. That's right.
Yeah, I was in a conversation with some young men a couple of days ago, and I was surprised to find out that they didn't have a clue of how their great 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 grandparents got here in America. They were lost in confusion and doubt as to who they were. One of them said that he was a white man that was black.
Mm-hmm.
Now I think a whole lot of these kids think that they white and black and they call.
It could be true.
Yeah.
Mixed up.
On their history, and they are confused. And these neo-colonialists who are working with these white supremacist races are fueling that ignorance. Let me give you an example of what I mean by that, if I can.
Come on, brother. Next door
to me, there's a house. Now, there have been five people that bought and sold that house since I've been here. The last guy got the house. He got it because the government got a plan. If you come and live in Oklahoma, they give you $10,000 in a house.
Uh-huh.
So this guy, I got to talking to him. And now I don't know if he was part of that program, but I believe he was. I got to talking with him, and I asked him where he was from. And he said he was from Rwanda.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I told him about the experience I had out at the airport with a plane load of Rwandan youth in the 1990s.
Yeah.
And he saw a little light and he started talking and he said he was in Rwanda when they was doing all that killing. Now this is a grown man. I mean he's much younger than I am. He might be in his 40s. But he got a big old car. They didn't give him a house. $10,000. And these Negroes here can't get hot water and heat in the house in the wintertime.
Yeah. But
the people who gave this boy this $10,000 and a house are suspect of racism. How they are creating a Negro to do their bidding and be a part of their secret army. This man told me.
Musa, that's right. And that's, let me interrupt you. move on. I see that Sister Mayotte has made it on the scene. And again, Mayotte, thank you for showing up. And everybody else, we appreciate everybody who's on the long way with us. Brother Curtis, I see a few others. So I'm going to get back to you in a minute, Brother Curtis. But Sister Mayotte, now we're talking about here, as you already know, the best systemic racism still exists in the United States. Now, before you answer that, I want you to know, first of all, y'all, black men, who are only 12% of the male population, make up 27% of the male shot, 36% of all of us killed by unarmed measures by the police department around the surrounding United States of America. Wow, that's high. So, Sister May, talk to me now. Tell me a little bit about what's going on with you. What you think about this?
Ashay, you know, this is my point of view, you know, and I look at it from back when this, you know, when we were established as a country, you know, when we were okay, you know, they felt okay to keep us at cattle status instead of actual human beings. They embedded it deep into this country, and, you know, as the country grew bigger, as they expanded, it didn't get any better. It just traveled. It got stronger. It adapted to whatever environment that racism, you know, lives in now. Now it's all over. So it's like an infection. You know, it infected us, you know, infected our people by keeping us oppressed. It infected the other races that oppressed us to automatically be programmed into racism. So automatically, I see it all the time. You know, a young child be like, ooh, I don't want to touch her, or, you know, don't want to be nice to her. Her skin is dark, you know, like the programming portion of it or whatever. It's like I said, it's embedded deep into everything in this country, and it's meant to keep us oppressed and keep us where, you know, where we can't elevate or where we can't grow. And when it comes to, you know, the statistics, you know, in our community, it's based off of living in those areas where they target us, where they try to keep us in that same state of mind. They deprive us of essential things that we need, correct education, giving us, you know, the right to control those things and to protect ourselves. They disable us and keep us in this cycle to where most of our men and our women are locked up, based off of something that they did and also stuff that they didn't do. A large portion of us are incarcerated because, you know, for the wrong reasons, you know, and for stuff that we didn't even do, you know. So all the data and everything is everything that's happened to us can be traced back to all these laws and all this stuff that's already embedded in this country to keep us oppressed. So that's my opinion about it.
Well, let me tell y'all this, first of all. Let me just say a little bit. Racism of this kind in which Mayotte just spoke about, so brilliantly spoke about, by the way, is on every level in our society. Now, watch this, y'all. Watch this. It's not by accident but by design that we are the last in education. We're the last receiving proper food. We're the last to receive proper health care. We're the last to receive proper housing. We're the last to receive adequate jobs. We're the last to receive police. We're the last in every level and every aspect of our society. This is clearly without question called systemic racism, and it affects all of us on every structural level. The systemic, deliberate, and flagrant racism that we exist and have visited upon us is by design. Now, a lot of people say, when you first look at it, that's not still going on. It's a strategy black to make the first black president of the United States. Now you got the first black vice president of the United States. Now, man, y'all making inroads. That's good. No. They're trying to placate us to make us forget about all the stuff we're talking about tonight by saying, see, here you go. But watch this here, Brother Willie. Watch this here. Not only are they trying to placate us and to quell our fears, but what they're really doing is giving us misguided information, because we're taking one step forward, but two or three steps back. So really, what do you think about this?
I'm sorry, were you talking to me?
No, it's Brother Willie. I'll get back to me. I thought you got him.
Okay.
Okay, well, I mean, if the lady would like to speak, she can speak. I sure can wait a second.
Oh, no.
Ladies first.
Yeah, my phone was breaking up, so it kind of chopped out for a second. So
yeah,
I didn't know, so I couldn't quite hear. You can go ahead,
yeah.
though.
You couldn't quite hear me. Okay, let me start with repeat that. I said that we are subjected to cruel and unusual punishment, denial of due process, on every scale of United States government and here in the United States. I spoke about not only shootings, but I spoke about we're the last in education, we're the last in health care, we're the last in housing, we're the last in jobs, we're the last in economic development. So I'm saying to you, brother, does that make sense? Am I exaggerating or what am I talking about?
Oh, no. Oh, no, you're different. We're the last to get free, too. You know what I'm saying? We get bitches. So, you know, we're the last at everything. You know, when I first moved out here to Oklahoma, we moved to a small town, and we owned some acreage. We owned about 200 acres. And so, you know, we decided we wanted to do some farming. And we got quite a few animals. We got horses and pigs and cows and stuff. But it seemed like it took forever for us to get approved for the loan to get the property.
It was a whole bunch of
hoops we had to jump through to acquire this colonial home. Now, I guess maybe because it was the black people trying to get it, you know, it was a strain up. Well, once we got the home, then we were strained with trying to get the farming loans. So we had to wind up going to it's a big deal at Langston University. They had everybody had to get together who was denied the loans, the farming loans. And we had to fill out paperwork, and it was done on a mass level. We thought we were just being strained up, you know, in our area, but come to find out, the system was straining up everybody. I mean, this university was full of black farmers who could not get loans from the banks for their property to do whatever they needed to do for their farming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when you say that racism is driven by capitalism, it surely is. And they have no reason to stop being racist at all when they capitalizing on it. Because the only way they can capitalize is to keep us at each other where they can benefit from it.
Okay. That was beautifully said. You know, it's like I said earlier, it's embedded in the system in every point that you can turn around and look. You know what I mean? To the small corporation mom and pops, all the way up to, you know, the big White House.
Yes, ma'am.
It's in the system to keep us, you know, down and at the bottom, and not just at the bottom, but at the bottom of everything and everyone else. Even if they ain't white, they still up in the middle somewhere, and they treat them slightly different from us. They still don't like them, but they treat us a lot worse. So, and that's anywhere. We've seen it from, you know, what they're doing to our people in Ukraine. You know what I mean? Keeping them there to fight on the front line, and they're just students. They have no good knowledge whatsoever. They didn't come here for that. You know what I mean?
They don't even have weapons.
They don't even.
Wow.
They were trying to hand them weapons to get on the front line.
Right.
I said, are you serious?
Put them off the train. You know what I mean? Get off the train. How do you make a man get off the train when he's trying to look for his life?
Exactly. Lock students up in the middle of the hot zone. You know what I mean? And told them you're either going to fight, you know, or you can stay in here, one of the two. So it's a whole, like I said, there's so many scenarios I can point out, and you could probably think of five or six just based on, you know, what I was saying and what the other gentlemen was saying or whatever about this topic. But like I said, everywhere I turn, even Oklahoma City, I could turn around and be like, man, that's kind of sad how y'all just, you know, y'all knock us off the, you know, list of people you want to hire just because of a, you know, a certain characteristic, but you ain't going to say it out loud. Down here, they don't say it out loud.
You
know,
got too much melanin.
Yep.
Well, let me get definitely on point, and I'll give the support. And again, we have to I see you lit up here, but we give you opportunity to speak as 1920, that's when it really hit back hard, because we were given basically symbolism of freedom to the after the 1860s treaty entered in the United States and the Native Americans who took around the United States that actually belonged to us. Okay, I'm sorry, anybody that's listening, I can't bite my tongue, I have to keep it real. But anyhow, we were given, for the most part, these very run-down lands, and today, even in the state of Oklahoma, when you go to these run-down communities like Tatum, Oklahoma, Boley, Oklahoma, New Lima, Oklahoma, and all them places like that there, my brothers and sisters are struggling real hard even today. And why is that, we wonder? Watch it now. It's a struggle because racism is real, because our brothers and sisters, like the brother just spoke about with his farming, were deliberately and consciously and acknowledgedly subjected to what you call redlining. What that simply means is that you're last in education, you're last in housing grants, you're last in any form of money.
And
whose music is that? Do I need to mute you? I can do that quick. I need to. So anyhow, we definitely need to try to have y'all would to keep your music down for us if you can. Now, I know it's probably an accident, but anyhow, let me finish. But what we were trying to say again, it was racism in redlining us in housing policies. But like you just said, Brother Willie, the point of the matter is to force you to go into leaps and bounds and up through other hoops to get a deal for financing. But for the most part, the monies in the federal government were not designed to help you and me of the African-American in the Western Hemisphere, because in so doing, that would make more of us independent. And when it made more of us independent, that means that you had control of the economic wealth here in the United States, and
that's
that certainly would have been going against the trend that they had set for us, especially during, again, the redlining period and the period in which the 1920s was the recession when it hit. Everybody was basically subjected to that, okay? Everybody felt the crunch. Okay, I don't care if you were black, white, pink, purple, or orange. No matter what your sex, if you were living around the 1920s, man, I mean everything. And as a matter of fact, this was also a time when Brother Curtis was up there in his city, where during the riot, murderous conditions of 1920s, the race riot up there in Oklahoma City in the Greenwood District, in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So, again, look how all this here hitting us all at one time. Now, why? Watch it now. Let me say this, and y'all have it before. Watch it now. Why was that necessary? And believe it or not, y'all, go and do your research. This was not the only city in Tulsa that was subjected to burnings and riots and killings of Ku Klux Klan people. We have several other cities. Go in and just look up riots and situations in the 1920s on up, and you'll find out that various cities in New Orleans and Wisconsin and places like that, blacks were slaughtered. I mean, just coming in and killed and maimed. So policies in the United States, y'all, is very unstable. So let me ask somebody on the phone. Now, one of y'all can pick that up. I don't care who it is. But I wanted to say that. Tell me if I'm on the right track. I just want to know what's going on there. Are we right or wrong? Somebody talk.
I think you're on one track.
Come on.
Well here in what they call Black Wall Street, it's been control of African American people for the past maybe centuries, we could say. They were the ones that were planning how it was going to be in the history that they were going to be going back into. Since neocolonialism arose in Africa, it has become a social art form. Neocolonialism is taken over. An example in Ghana, the first independent African nation in Africa was taken over by neo-colonialist Negroes who were working for the colonists. Matter of fact, they ran him out of Ghana, and he eventually died. But neocolonialism took over and it's still in effect in Ghana. Neocolonialism was so strong in Nigeria that the people that trained the neocolonialists in Nigeria started the Biafran Nigerian War, where they were killing each other like dogs. And it was a long time before the revolutionary social scientist was able to put the picture together of what happened with the Nigerians and the Biafra in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
They still may recover from the problem that the Zionist Jewish community created. They the ones who went into Nigeria seeking to take it over politically with neocolonialists. They the ones that started the Biafran Nigerian War that Nigeria hasn't fully recovered from yet. I hope I'm not making this too complicated, but the same thing is happening right now in Tulsa. What used to be Black Wall Street has turned into neocolonialist street. And the same people that caused the Nigerian War are the same people who now control the Greenwood Cultural Center, the Greenwood Cultural Center that they call the heart of North Tulsa. Now, I know that I'm not the only one, but the political system is being taken over by three people that were selected by the people who control neocolonialism in Tulsa, Oklahoma. The three people that were put in the power now,
yep,
telling the African American people that you got to do this and you got to do that.
What you're saying then, when you speak of neocolonialism, let's make sure everybody understands that you're talking about a black bourgeoisie controlled by the white establishment, right?
Yes.
In other words, they're letting their own country controlled by the white folks outside of the Mexican, whoever it may be. So I just want everybody to understand when you say neocolonialism, simply means the black race who are being ruled by the white outsiders who are actually controlling the economic wealth of that particular society. Okay.
Green,
go ahead and take a couple more minutes because
then
we'll have some more. We've got the lines lit up. I recognize some here, but some I don't, so I'm going to call out the numbers, just the first three numbers, and see if they want to speak. Go ahead on. All right. Now, again, 314, I saw you waving at me, brother. Come on, talk to me. What do you think about tonight's program? Talk to me a little bit, man. Who is that anyway?
Well, it's Mr. Pete. I think you tell
brother
the story
Pete,
one-sided. Well, I think the story is being told one-sided. I'm going to give you some examples.
Come on, that's it.
We talk about the Pilford lawsuit. Well, blacks were not the only plaintiffs in their case. You had white farmers that was in their case also. And
okay,
you understand the reason, because Obama fired one black lady because of what she said, then came back and found out the total gist of what she said about a white farmer, about how they had experienced the devastation too. Another thing, your Congressional Black Caucus won't let white members, white Congress people join them. Even in a case like Steve Cohen, who is of the 5th Congressional District in Tennessee, which includes Shelby County, which is a part which Memphis lies in, Steve Cohen was elected by that constituent, which is majority black. But they won't let him, and they got standing order, no whites are allowed. Another case.
Okay.
You got the Utah Jazz, the basketball team, just said that they was going to issue scholarships for every game that they won, scholarships towards students' college. They said white kids can't apply. This is within the last few weeks. And you know another point, we talk about the 40 acres and the mule. Well, mm-hmm. that land belonged to Indians, what you call Black Wall Street, there in Tulsa, in North Tulsa. That belonged to the Creek. They never sell their land. And in Wagner County, which is east Oklahoma, that there was Creek land. And you had the 160-acre allocation that was going to Creeks. And one lady, or one young girl, her name was Sarah Reckner. At that time, she was the richest female in the United States because her land had oil on it. So, no.
Okay.
These things happen to everybody. And look at Richard Nixon.
Okay.
Richard Nixon, working with Harvey Gantt and McKissick, established an all-black town in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, called Soul City.
Mm-hmm.
It's still there today, but don't nobody move there. Well, you're right about Taft and the other counties in Oklahoma, but nobody's keeping people from moving to those counties.
Okay, right now, you're right, brother. What we're talking about is a lot of... Come on, man, I'll call you. Let us take you. Come back to you, brother.
Yeah, go ahead, sister.
Go ahead.
To add on to that, I've done my research about, you know, us before, you know, the Tulsa race massacre. And it looks like, as far as my research, that we were fine living amongst each other. We were trying to establish, you know, something to where we could coexist with the Indian people, or as I say, African descendants that were already here, but we're not going to go there. We were trying to cohabitate with each other, you know, to a certain degree, until we started establishing our own. Now, I don't feel like this happens, you know, systematic racism happens to everyone. I feel like it happens to all melanated people, but specifically black people. We are at that bottom totem pole that they want to keep us. So that's, you know, that's personally my opinion. I don't feel like that we didn't own any parts of land that, you know, couldn't have been upkept and couldn't have, you know, created things from, you know, from the earth, you know, plants and, you know, vegetables, fruits and stuff. But the fact that they try to keep us at the totem pole, you know, as far as the all-black towns, which I've been to several here in Oklahoma, and they're pretty much run down. They don't want to establish, they don't want to give out money to help them, you know, upkeep the land, because they know once they do that, that we become a threat.
People gonna move there
without us even wanting to be in the state. You know what I mean? Us wanting to cohabitate.
Nobody helped Nigerians in the big portions of land that they established in Houston. Nobody helped them. Nobody stopping blacks from doing that if they want.
Well, again, let us come back to home, brother, man.
And real quick. Blacks receive free land for every settler, 50 acres that they sponsored to the United States.
But this is what I'm saying. Without
okay, now, you're talking about a situation, brother, man, all right now. I love this kind of talk here.
You're not talking about a systemic racist program.
Watch it now, some of us. You're not talking about when you come into a system where all the Indians were killed off in African America in the Western Hemisphere, were brought to the diaspora. Watch it, sir. You got a real one here. Who were brought here forcibly by chained in bondage. And told, look here, Negro, your name, your language, your culture, and everything. Watch it, sir. Those people knew the words that you're speaking about. But the African American.
Let me reply to that.
Excuse me, sir. That's what I'm trying to tell you, sir. Now, what I'm saying here is that not only that, but when you have a system, that a government system that's designed to deliberately, knowingly, and recklessly keep you from coming up in life through education, through jobs and training and so forth and so on. Watch it, sir.
Right.
When you're over here and on a slave plantation where you reprogrammed and at the same time suddenly released from a society that you're not about, sir. the football already had their place there. So again, you cannot compare it to your statement.
Well,
I want to say something right quick. This is going to be my last response, and I'm leaving. Hey, before you leave, sir, I want to say something because you made a reference to something that I said, and I waited, you know, saying patiently so I could address that. You were talking about the Pilford case, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. When did this case take place?
Well, it was still going on during the Obama administration.
Okay.
And George Bush Jr., I think this lawsuit started during George Bush Jr. But, yeah, we knew the case happened.
Wait a second. I'm addressing, it may not be. I will look into that, and I would like to exchange information with you, too, so we can possibly clarify if there is a misunderstanding here.
You got a pill, so I give you my phone number.
Okay, we'll do that. But what I'm seeing here is...
Tell me when you're ready.
I'm ready.
314.
I got your number, brother. I'll give it to you. So that way,
that's the wrong number you got, sir. That's the wrong number you got.
Okay.
It's okay.
You got a phone number, you brother. Will. You got a pencil?
67 what?
677-4953.
Yes, 4953. I got you.
Yeah,
right,
let me finish something else.
I want to address your point right quick. When we had our class action lawsuit for this this systemic racial problem that we were having. This was back in like 94, 95. Now, I'm pretty sure this stuff was done and being closed out. So I'm not sure. That's why I said I'm not sure about this Pilford case here, but I will look into it. But guaranteed, my good man, there were no white people, not one, not even an Indian, a Mexican, or any of that, at this class action lawsuit filing this paperwork. And this was for everybody in the state of Oklahoma. There was not one white person there. So, well, I take it back.
Well, it was because the lady's name was Shirley something. I can't think of her name.
No, sir.
She worked for the Obama administration.
I was present at Langston University when we were all filling out the paperwork with the attorneys about this class action lawsuit for being disenfranchised. The black farmers were being disenfranchised by the finance of we'll say the finance company of Oklahoma or whoever, the banks of Oklahoma, whoever, however. There were no white
but
people
when you,
here.
When you
now,
call me,
know,
I'll have the information so you can check. Okay?
Okay, well, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, I was there myself.
I understand. You said you were there.
Yes, I went to every meeting, me and my grandfather. We went to every meeting. Mm-hmm. We filled out all the paperwork.
I helped people fill out papers.
Okay, were you president at Langston University?
No, it was some farmers in the St. Louis area that I helped fill out papers, you know, because
it
said that anybody who had ever tried, they would be.
Here in Oklahoma, not Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri, none of that. Here in Oklahoma, sir, there was not one white person at Langston, a black university, filling out this paperwork for disenfranchised black farmers. Not a one. And the one.
Were you down at Tupelo College?
Excuse me, where?
Were you at Tupelo College when they was having submittals there?
No, sir. Where's
Tupelo
there
was
College?
A lot of whites that showed up there with their paperwork.
Where's Tupelo College, sir? Yeah, because, see, I can't talk about something outside of Oklahoma, and I can't talk about something that I wasn't a part of. But I can tell you, when it comes to disenfranchised black farmers in the state of Oklahoma, there wasn't one white person, unless he was an attorney, other than my grandfather's wife, that went to one of the meetings with him.
Yeah, but
that
you just admitted that you wasn't everywhere, which is logical.
Right. But I was.
Now,
I want to
comment on
a
couple other things.
All right, y'all. One more. We don't want to hang up
go
on
ahead,
that one topic too
he
long.
Go ahead.
We're overdoing it. We'll give you a little more. Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say this, too. People talk about Africans being drugged here. No, some Africans was expelled from their country because they were riffraff. My wife's tribe, which is the Akamu, she's away from the Volta region in what's now Ghana. They had wars, and when you lost, you either had to pay restitution, you were sold off, or you was killed. I mean, that's just the way it was. The British worked for over 120 years to stop indigenous slavery in Ghana amongst the Akan from 1808 through 1928. So you're talking about human behavior. You talk about Indians. The Iroquois Indians fought with George Washington at Savannah along with the French and along with the Haitians against the British.
The British. Right. Well,
anyway, I'm
going
to let you guys go.
No, wait. You're
you talking
go,
about you human behavior.
You got to go now. Wait,
well,
wait,
you
got
to I don't know.
We want you to
really
stay on, brother, man. I mean, like I said, this topic is a long way from being over. We want you to stay on. I mean, don't just go on.
Well, I'll stay on, but I don't want to get into arguments.
You can't get an argument, brother, man, because anybody that don't talk about something, if I've known anything that's peaceful and harmony and joy, as long as ain't nobody cuss nobody out, brother, man, you're going to have disagreement. That's the whole purpose of reality. That's what being an individual means. At least I thought it was. So then, okay,
well,
I'm going to go, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. That don't even make sense. So if I disagree with you, okay, well, you know, but anyhow, y'all, let me move on to this.
I would also like to ask this gentleman, how can, because he was talking about the Creek Nation and some other stuff up here in Oklahoma. He was talking about the richest lady up there. But I noticed he said something. Now, mind you, you said that this was Indian territory. Well, how then can you allocate something to somebody who already owns it?
Well, not brother. Now, I think he's maybe been speaking a little fast. Because first of all, this land belongs. Okay, brother, let me give y'all some history here to read on. Go to a book called They Came Before Columbus. Okay.
Okay.
We had inner commerce and changes with the Indian nation, and before they were even here, we were here pillaging lands and cultures before they were banished from India. Okay, y'all, let's not just say something, just simply be saying it. Let's go to the reality. Now, watch this one. After the natives here claimed this land, when they were forced through the five civilized tribes, forced by the United States government, taken by the military, saying we're taking these lands in Alabama, Georgia, Mississippi, and those parts.
Yes,
this
sir.
This is what came toward America, to the United States in Oklahoma, Kansas City, places like that. So when they got here, they had blacks who were also in their circle, who were also in their camps. So therefore, I'm saying to y'all that there's no kind of way, watch it, sir, that this belonged to them, because when I came here with them, even though you had me enslaved, you took me away from my land. So that it became mine just as yours, but you told me it wasn't, because I was enslaved to you as in your Indian race, like the white twin enslaved us. Okay, y'all?
Well,
let's understand this here. It was due to the 1866
you got to also
treaty.
Mention.
It was
which
due
treaty?
To the 1866 treaty. 1866
yep.
treaty after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. Watch it, sir. Again, after the war, the white man said, okay, the war is over. Look, you Indians. Y'all going to have to get them black something because they were property of y'all's. Just like we enslaved
correct.
Y'all too. Thank you, sir. Watch it now. So here's what we need y'all to do. You need to sit down here in some of this land rush. Y'all tell us what part of land we're going to get in. But actually, they dealt with the Freedmen tribe, which was basically recognized as the, you know, the main African Afrocentric group at this time. They said, okay, what are we going to do? So we had the Creek, the Creek and all those groups like that. They'll say,
Creek,
okay,
the Creek, Choctaw, Cherokee, Seminole.
You got Choctaws, which are also referred to as the Red Blacks.
That's it. Bam. Well, watch this one. So because a lot all this stuff was going on, what the Indians themselves did was that what they would do, they would deliberately take you off the road, the Don's Road.
That's
what
right.
that means is they take you off the road where they're, your people ain't got land or nothing. What I'm saying, y'all, is that we actually had through 1800, black chiefs who ran great societies
yes, sir.
In these same civilizations. That's what I'm trying to tell y'all. So they ain't no about no Indians on
well,
nothing.
They were black in skin color, but they was not African. In 1860, Lincoln's emancipation only freed those that was considered contraband that had escaped to the Union troops. Lincoln had no control over the Indians because they were sovereign nations. Now, this is what mm-hmm. happened in 1866, and also something similar in the 1832 treaty. Indians said, if you want us to give up our property, you got to pay us, which the United States government did confiscate them. And the last payment, I believe, was in 1952 with either the Creek or the Choctaw. The last
mm-hmm.
payment for them releasing their
Choctaw
property.
Choctaw Nation. That's right.
Hold on.
Are you
referring to the land in Oklahoma or like Mississippi and where they were moved from?
We talking about where they was removed from. And
okay.
the Creek, they
right.
walked through what's called a Trail of Tears, but the Creek took their slaves on steamboats, went up
mm-hmm.
the Panhandle,
mm-hmm.
the Mississippi River, into Oklahoma because Creek was rich. Some of your biggest and
the
richest slave catchers
Seminole.
Was the Seminole.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right today, the Seminole tribe is one of the largest, but the largest tribe is Cherokee. Yeah, a lot of people don't bring them people up, man. But like I said, I think my culture, I've been doing my investigation here, which made me want to do it. And then Mayotte and you, Brother Curtis, y'all can jump in with us. I mean, this is fun to me. But anyhow, what I was talking about, and I still am, is that we are owned in discriminatory measures, man. We were enslaved by the Indians just like the white settlers. And these foreigners coming over today have no right to these indigenous lands where they have everything, where we are twice as likely not to have anything at any level, y'all. I'm trying to tell you, it's through racism that we're not, you know, even keel and even level like the rest of them.
Correct.
It's like these gambling casinos and things in Oklahoma. We're supposed to have some of those paid. Why? Because if we give that to you black, and y'all going to overtake us because y'all have the kings and queens of intelligence that we stole, brought you over anyway, what you mean.
They had to strip of your identity in order to keep you down. That's the first thing. We have to understand that we've been stripped of
slavery,
who we were.
Yeah.
Our shame.
Slavery was nothing new to Africans. Africa taught the world slavery. And it came in many different forms, including chattel slavery and sacrificial slavery. They was involved in slavery before they ever met anybody with white skin.
Well, the slave at that time, brother man, we're talking about a different level of slavery. Let's keep it here.
No,
let's
it wasn't no indentured service.
It was even
sacrificial, and it was chattel.
It was five different
types of slavery that existed amongst the Akan and other tribes in the Mamamopata kingdom.
I got you, brother man. What I'm trying to say is that with no foreigners who invaded, this is where the trouble comes at, man. You're going to have racism and indoctrinated racism in every tribe and every land. Well, we're talking when that foreigner come out, kill you, take your land, take your kids, and take your property. That's what we're talking about.
But that's not true. Let me tell you something. When Africans seen the Portuguese good ships, they hired the ships to carry their cargo from as far south as Nigeria all the way up to Senegal. They hired the Portuguese because Africans did not have no shipbuilding. All they had was dugout canoes. Another point, ships would anchor off the coast, and then they were rowed to the coast. And when they came on the coast, they had to pay the par. What did pay the par mean? They had to pay the king to come aboard. Come ashore.
Let me stop for a minute. Mayotte, you've been pretty patient with you and Brother Curtis, but Mayotte, talk to me about it. Hey, man, all y'all don't leave, boy. Y'all told you this is nice. Oh, shit. I love it. Mayotte, talk to me. I know you said back there, you were saying something. What's up?
You've been on me for a while, Michael. You know I like to get straight to the point.
I know.
When it comes to systematic racism, like I said, going back to what we were talking about originally, it's embedded in our country where we stay at now. No matter how we got here, you know, no matter what kind of trenches we'd have been through, our ancestors, you know, did or didn't do, that right now is not right at this very moment. You know what I mean? Right now at this very moment, we're here. We're all technically in the U.S. Anybody outside of that, okay. But U.S., you know, we're dealing with that heavy here in a country that says that we have the right to so many different things that, you know, we can't get pretty much. They rig everything for us to be very last over anybody else. That's what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with what our ancestors had to go through there, what they did or didn't do. We're dealing with this right now. So what can we do about it right now? Can we start with acknowledging what's going on currently and acknowledging that it's in everything that we do and be very mindful of anything that we try to pursue, that is one obstacle that we're going to have to face, no matter if it's getting people out of the prison system or it's, you know, creating new jobs, having a business, you know, or being an assistant at some big corporation. We're going to have to deal with it in some type of way, whether we acknowledge that we are black or we're black mixed with something else or whatever, that melanin or that being of African descent is going to be something that we, you know, we have to intake and love within ourselves, but also know that the world doesn't love us. The world says they love us, but they never show that they love us. So we can't, you know, we can't forget that. We cannot forget that. You know, I like to say in the present, to deal with the issue that's at hand, not go all off on the deep end. Excuse me, but I am going to address this. Going all off into what our ancestors done when our topic is systematic racism that's going on here and now. What are we going to do about it now? The past is only going to give us tools to change the future, but we've got to use them correctly in order to get this together in the present. So that's all I got to say to it.
Ooh, but now, hey, you're definitely on point. Sister Robinson in D.C. Come on, Sister Robinson.
Hey,
I'm waiting for you, Sister.
Yeah.
All right, hey.
Sister Robinson in D.C., yeah. I just want to say that, you know, dealing with systemic racism, and some say institutional racism, it's a bunch of systems. We know that, right?
Uh-huh.
A bunch of systems. It affects us. Job-wise, it affects us with our housing. It affects our education, our health care, the legal system, the political system. But the biggest one to me right now is the fraternal order of police. That system. They are killing us like crazy because they have this qualified immunity.
Yes, ma'am.
It allows officers to kill us. Okay, without any repercussions.
That's right. I said that
okay,
a couple
so
weeks ago.
So that is a problem. So then you have to go back into history and look at how these systems, it's not by chance, it's by design. If
that's
you,
right.
You have to understand the Constitution.
Mm. Thank you, Sister Robinson. Thank you, Sister Robinson.
Because it's two constitutions. Okay.
That's right.
So the Supreme Court, they pull whichever one they want to work from. That's not fair.
Right.
You know, it should be all across the land. And then I'm not hearing anybody talk about the Great Depression and the stock market fall back in 1929. So like in 1932, it was like 50% of melanated people who were unemployed. And then in the South, it was like 70% that was unemployed. But if you go back to the 70s, this was another system that worked there. The welfare and the housing and how the melanated woman was able to get housing for the children.
Mm-hmm.
So it tore our families apart. Y'all seen
the
movie,
the melanated man
couldn't be in
the
house. You had to keep
ma'am.
The man in the house. The social workers was coming to see what you had in your house.
Yes,
so you
ma'am.
Had to lie and tell people you didn't know who your fathers who your children's fathers were. You didn't know who you was pregnant by. All kind of lies, all kind of things just to survive. Well, as time kept going, people said, okay, if I have more children, I get more food stamps. If I have
man,
more children,
good.
I get a bigger house. You see what I'm saying?
Well,
so you see what position that put the melanated woman in? Do you see the hopelessness of the black man? Okay, because that would have been designed to tear the family down and tear the
That's
black
exactly
man.
Right.
And some of the women were so full of themselves, it was like, I don't need you. You ain't doing nothing. They couldn't see. It was systemic racism. Okay? So coming on up, moving forward, the education-wise, they told us, okay, if you go to school, get your high school diploma, you'll be able to get a job. You get your high school diploma, now you need what? A college degree.
A college education.
Now, to get a college education is going to cost you about, what, $60,000? How you going to pay that back? So you're going to be in debt for the rest of your life. But all
That's
of these
right.
small systems of systemic racism is all under the major system, and that's the monetary system of the government.
Uh-huh.
It's always going to be in debt.
That's right.
We live
White
on supremacy
debt. Control that.
We have no money in America.
Wow.
There is no money.
Sister,
then we let
sister,
them give us labels.
I said that.
Like
sister,
black.
I made that
I'm
point a couple
black.
Weeks ago.
I'm melanated. You
right.
know, Afro-American,
that's right.
Negro,
that's right.
this, that. The word black means nothing in the legal system.
No,
okay?
no, it doesn't.
It's
no.
an old slave term, black. Black
uh-huh.
is not a race. Afro
no.
is not a race.
Uh-huh.
So who are you? You
so
either are
black
all under
indigenous come up with
because
the
you were already here. You was already here, or you African. Simple as that. You're not black.
Wow.
So who are you?
Okay.
Know who you are.
Wow. Who? Hey,
that
you,
is powerful,
you,
sister.
You,
thank
you,
you
come on, Brother Will. She lit us up.
Yeah,
that boy, all right.
She spoke truth. She spoke truth now. You know,
yeah.
my grandfather was a quarter German, a quarter
okay,
African-American,
yeah, uh-huh.
in a half Mississippi Choctaw. My mother is Tonka Indian and African American. You know what I mean? So I kind of fit in on both sides here. But we know you look at today, and you've got laws being changed and things going on here in Oklahoma. You know, that's what I'm going to speak about here in Oklahoma. And you have the Supreme Court has already said that they are not going to change anything about Oklahoma. But yet still the state of Oklahoma refuses to recognize that they are operating an illegal statehood.
Mm-hmm.
When they gave this to the Indians in perpetuity, that means forever. So, again, I go back to my question to the gentleman earlier. How do they allocate something to some people that's theirs and was given to them in perpetuity?
Mm-hmm. Well, his brother left, but he still hear you. I see him online. He's offline, but he can still hear you. He can't speak because he's offline, though.
Okay. Well, you know, that's just my thing, you know, because he was saying some things. Yeah, I understand what he's saying. But like she said, we're talking about today. You know, the sister said that, you know, the points I made a couple weeks ago, you remember when I was talking about how we got to have finance in order for black people or the melanated people to come together and come up. We have to have finance, you know. And the guy was saying, no, we got to, you know, I wasn't saying money is everything. I'm just saying if you look at what they believe to be the supreme race, the white folks.
In society,
they take their money,
Oklahoma, the United States society is everything, straight bottom line. Man. I mean, if you ain't got money, you can't use
that. That's right. And not only that, they pass their money. They pass their money down to their people. You know what I'm saying? They pass their money on generational wealth. You know, so therefore, they have no reason to allow us to be uplifted and start to gain some footing in life when their whole wealth comes from the premise of being down.
Oh, man. Yeah, they come on the back of our slave ancestors, brother, man.
Yeah.
We, man, they'll feel the cotton factories and the whole work.
That's right. Why would they take your foot off your neck when they eating out of your work and your labor? Like I said about the prison,
they would have to give you more than half of what they own.
Right. They making money off of this prison system. When you incarcerate people for profit with private prisons, these people have no incentive to make laws that rehabilitate, that give people drug rehabilitation, any of that. They incentive now is to lock everybody up. Even with mental illness. Mental illness now is running rapid in the prison instead of people being treated.
No, that's right. But see, they get more money in finances, brother, man. They get grants and study to study. But at the same time, they're the ones infusing that mental illness thing because they need to keep people locked up and confined and not want to have an encouragement to get out and do better.
If you know better and you do better, guess what? What need do they have for their system?
You become better.
That's why the melanated race doesn't have a system. Because if you gain your own system, well, what need do you have for ours? Now you got your own money, you got your own system. Well, what does that leave them?
Oh, man, they dissolve. The white race would dissolve. So, Mayak, you wanted to ask a question right quick, and Brother Curtis has been very patient. Brother Curtis, don't go away just yet. If you want to ask a question, and you got it. Come on.
So this is I'm not even going to put it in a question. I'm just going to make a statement. I've noticed that when they are addressing us, they call us black now. They didn't switch up the game. They don't call us African American. They calling us blacks or black.
Mm-hmm.
So they're already subtly acknowledging that the fact that they're gonna still keep us at the bottom, because they go back and forth when they're addressing us between African American and black. That I have noticed, and even Biden himself has called us black. Acknowledged that we are going through this systematic racism without actually calling it systematic racism. So, you know, I've watched them underline say some things that, you know, it's not going to change. They're not going to change. We're going to have to acknowledge what they're doing and not accept what they're doing, but change it up on them. And we're going to have to invest in our race.
Oh, nowhere around. Nowhere around.
That's right.
We need to not play.
Brother Michael.
You know what I mean? Because the more that we put into us, the stronger that we will be. So when it does come a time where we're going to have to unite, which is going to happen, you know, we will be stronger together. You know what I mean? We're going to have to invest within our communities. Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, California, New York, wherever.
No matter where we are.
No matter where we are, even internationally, we're going to have to invest in ourselves, because this is not going to change, you know, at all. Their plan is going to continue to still be their plan. But
that's right.
Us having our doctors, our lawyers, our people on the front line, you know, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make a difference for us.
Ooh. May I come on, Brother Curtis. May I just show it out? Man, y'all chewing out now. I'm tired of y'all. Go ahead, bro.
I just want to say this here. Maybe it makes some sense. But my father told me a long, long time ago that it's impossible to solve a problem if you can't identify what the problem is.
That's right. That's right.
He also told me that the problem that African-American people must understand and solve is to identify what the problem is. And he said that the problem is the socioeconomic system, capitalism, and the solution to the problem is very, very simple. Once you destroy capitalism, people will begin to live like human beings again.
Wow, that's right.
Until capitalism is destroyed, we're going to continually have chaotic system like you got in Herzegovina and Russia today.
People trying
to get rich off of somebody else, and they don't even understand how they are destroying each other. If you can't identify what the problem is, and it's the same problem all over the world today. I don't care if you call it Russian capital, Russian communism, American capitalism, or socialism. I don't give a damn what you call it. Capitalism is the problem, and the solution to the problem is the destruction of the socioeconomic system, capitalism. And don't nobody want to deal with what's going to happen to the world once the capitalist system is destroyed.
Oh, man.
That's
nobody.
When them Europeans going to hit that red button, man.
Yeah, that panic button. Hey, let me hit that red button. Yeah. Go ahead, Brother Curtis. Say a couple more words, and I'm going to say something before we get out of here. We still got about 20 minutes, but I just want to say something and get all y'all round table. Give y'all two. Then I want Sister Robson to come in after me after this.
I didn't understand that. In its entirety, until the police came to my house one morning at 3 a.m. and knocked on it and locked me up for bank robbery with people that I didn't even know and kept me locked up for a year. I know people that have been locked up for 35 years. I know a brother that's been in jail for 56 years and he ain't never been convicted of a crime.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just what he thought and what he thinks. So everybody needs to understand what the problem is. It's the socioeconomic system, capitalism, and the solution is just as simple as understanding what the problem is. The destruction of the problem. Capitalism is the solution to the answer, and that's what nobody want to deal with except them brothers that's in jail now doing 50 and 60 years for just talking about
political prison.
Still have me down there as one for some brothers in the Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army.
All right. So, yes, sir, brother. Hey, I want to say something right quick here, y'all. Then I want Sister Robson to come back on. She lit us up a while ago. All these areas, all of y'all have touched on, but she touched on basically each and every one of these I'm getting ready to say, as well as y'all. Don't get me wrong. So I want all of y'all to say something here. Like I said, we're getting ready to do a roundtable. Y'all have about two and a half minutes apiece because we're getting ready to get close out, but not just yet. But let me say this right quick, and let me kind of touch up on, again, our basis tonight, Paul, you're in Radio Land out there that's listening to, all right, Brother Henry, Brother Cheryl, Brother Dante, I hope I said your name appropriately. Thank y'all for tuning in as well, and others who in Denver, Chicago, Mississippi, Georgia, New Orleans. Thank y'all, everybody, for listening in. This is your show. I'm your host, Baba Wetaba, Father Many Nations, and my co-host, Sister Mayat Yabor, right here in Oklahoma City at People Power Radio. We are your one and we are your only radio station where your opinions and thoughts and ideas count. Let me have you say that the topic tonight, again, does racism exist here in the United States? Yes, it does. And as our great audience and guests have said it earlier, please, y'all, just give me a minute. Well, number one is the major problem of concern. It is a major factor in the white supremacist system that we call United Snakes of America. Y'all know I give my revolutionary stance every now and then, so I have to say that. Now, whites make up about 72% of the United States population. However, they own 90% of its wealth. Okay, everybody, let's get that understanding clear. Okay, blacks are 13% of the population, and we own only 2.6% of the nation's wealth. So what I'm trying to tell y'all, man, is they can outmatch us with money right today. And if we don't have money, whatever we say and do, and it has to do with money, white men say, oh, man, they got 2.6%, man, put 8.9% over there. Bam, we washed out. All right, now let me say this, y'all can have the floor. Also, unemployment. Blacks are unemployed at a rate that's two times that as of white and others. Hispanics are the number one ethnic group now in America, where we at one time used to be there, but why? Why are we not there? Killing each other, being killed by the government, racism, denied proper education, adequate medication and food, not by accident, but by design. Then we have another area of education, y'all. We are three times likely our students to be suspended from school, lied on, and hit upside the head by the school teachers, and lied and saying that they did something to be expelled. We're three times likely to be suspended for the same infractions as white students are. Then we have, as everybody spoke about, the criminal justice system. That's right. We make up 13%. Watch this. We make up 13% of the Earth's population here in, the United States. But guess what? We are 40% of the prison population, man. That's three times that, about 13%. Think about that, y'all. So I'm trying tell y'all all these, and then watch this one, because I want to kind of go quick, and then I'm going to give y'all the floor. Then we have discrimination in housing. Blacks are shown 18% fewer homes, and guess what? We have 4% of fewer rentals than whites do, meaning that they force us into slavery. They force us on the street. They force us into bondage, unemployment, uneducation, y'all. Now watch this one, you ask me. Surveillance. Every time we move around, this government is watching us. Why? Because a threat, any threat from any black is a threat against the United States government. That's why J. Edgar Hoover, with his COINTELPRO counterintelligence program, spies on, watch it now. Watch, I told you, from every level of government, y'all, we are being discriminated and targeted for failure. Black drivers are 30% more likely to be pulled over by the police. I said this all this, y'all. I told you I want to do my research on all this so we can know that all listening. Oh, no, thank you, Brother Henry. Thank you for your comments. We let everybody know, y'all, that this is the purpose for our show. We want this show to give everybody an opportunity. Sister Robinson, take over. Get your 2.5 minutes right quick out of here, and then I'm gonna come out here and get everybody talking. We got about 20 minutes left. Go ahead, sister. Talk to me.
I just want to say that as melanated people, we have to establish our sovereignty here. As far as what are we? What group are we? Because, like I said, Afro and Black are not racist. Okay,
I got you.
So like in the 1800s, the Cherokees in Georgia was labeled as Black people. So we coincided with the Cherokees. So a lot of us, like I said, we are the indigenous people. I'm going to drop this again. Joe Biden said he will not issue any reparations until the Native Americans, the Indians, get reparations. So we're not going to get anything. Okay? Until they are free. Last, I want to leave this thought with you. If somebody tell you your ancestors were slaves, tell them they were prisoners of war.
Yes, ma'am. No digging and no doubt. Yes, sir. Come on, Brother Will. Thank you, sister. Don't go anywhere yet, though, because I got a couple more questions. Go ahead, Brother Will.
Well, you know, brother, I just want to say, as far as melanated people, we need to understand that the slaveholders, they went into our women and they lightened our melanin, our skin, to create a division between the darker brothers and the lighter brothers.
Wow.
Why is this brother in the house and why am I in the field? See, we got to stop bucking each other, too, because no matter what the white man is doing to us, he's already got a psychological grip on us from what he's doing. Remember when I talked about last time about the whole thing with Willie Lynch? You know what I'm saying? He's already got to terrorize us. So they went into our women, and now they take the light skin. You know, they say black ain't in no more.
Oh, no, I know.
Hey, look, that's a... We being racist against each other when we do that. So we got a problem we gotta alleviate within our own group, and then we can tackle everything else. We have to educate one another that, look, this was the plan all along. To divided, they fall.
Wow.
And they got us divided against one another. You know, that's why they went into the Indian women. And now, look, they control the Chickasaw Nation, pretty much the white folks control.
Oh, man,
come
all
on, man.
Of them. Yeah.
Come
all
on, man.
Them.
So in order to control something, you have to go into it. You know, the white folks just can't control the black people. They got to get into the black people. They got to get into the colored folks. Then once they get into them, and then
now we got some,
now, now our DNA is in your DNA. So now I have a little more control. So, you know, we got to fix us first, and then we can tackle the bigger issues when it comes to the other people.
Wow. Woo, man, y'all lit it up tonight. Hey, I ain't messing y'all no more. I ain't talking to y'all no more after tonight. Brother Curtis, come on, talk to me, man.
Well, when I found out what the problem was, I told everybody that I knew, and it scared people to think about what the problem was and what the solution to the problem was.
Mm-hmm.
It's very simple. It's not complicated at all. The problem is the socioeconomic system, capitalism, and the solution to the problem is the destruction of it. Plain and simple. Yeah. So I live in a society that if you got a family and you want to take care of your family, you got to do something. You got to work or you got to steal. You know? It's up to the individual, you know? In a capitalist society, you gonna do one or you gonna do the other. You gonna work or you gonna steal. So you got to understand what the problem is, and you got to understand what the solution to the problem is.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And if you don't understand that, you're just gonna be shooting in the wind. You know? While I was talking to you, Michael, I was going through some papers, and I'm gonna send them to you tomorrow.
Okay,
and,
bro.
And
you know, I'm always ready. I'm always ready. You know that.
They're directly related to what we talked about this evening. Every one of the papers that I'm sending you, you know.
Okay. You know,
so
I'll share them, brother.
Give you some more insight, because you're doing a good job, man.
Oh, man, I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
30 seconds, brother. Yeah, I appreciate it.
I wish I could do it. You know?
You are doing it. You're doing it through me, brother. Man, I'm your eyes, ears, and mind. You done done your time. You sit to the wayside over there. Man, I'm talking about you keep you your intellect. I'll be your eyes, your ears, and your hand, and your feet. Bottom line. Straight up. You hear me?
Brother, speaking the truth.
Your mind
too.
Is invaluable. Straight up.
My son called me tonight, and he told me, he said, Daddy, relax. We got
I'm telling you. You done your part, brother, man. You ain't no spring chicken, brother. You supposed to pass the torch on.
He told me, he said, Daddy, relax. We got it.
That's right. We going to definitely have it. All right, brother, I cut you off, Curtis, right here. The sister, I may come on, talk to me now. You know, then I'll end it out, y'all. We still have a little show in our back room. But go ahead, Sister Matt. Thank you, Brother Curtis, all y'all, though. But go ahead, Sister Matt.
I say, tonight was a really good show. You know, I respect everybody's opinion because it takes a lot of courage to actually share your true opinion about what's going on based on your own knowledge of self and knowledge of things that are going on around us right now, and also went on with, you know, our ancestors. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage to do that. Like I said before, and I always say almost every show, I try to knowledge itself. Let us know who we are and recognize who we are and recognize how they treat us because of who we are, and find a way, collaborate ideas to end this systematic racism and any other thing that holds us back from our greatest potential, you know, as far as being of African descent. That's my biggest thing. We've got to acknowledge who we are, and we've got to acknowledge who, and we have to acknowledge how they treat us because of who we are. So we've got to come up with a solution. We have brilliant minds. We have people of all kinds of different backgrounds, you know, sheltered, not sheltered, you know, living amongst, you know, predominantly white people and some that have grew up in predominantly black neighborhoods. So we all have a point of view. We just all need to come together and create a solution to the problem, because most of all of us that on this line knows that it is a problem. And it is there for whatever reason that you have done your research or based your opinion upon on your research. We just got to acknowledge the truth and come up with a solution to the problem at this point.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sister, so much. Again, y'all. Okay, were you finished?
I say I was.
Okay, no, go ahead. You started saying something, I cut you off. You still got about a minute here.
No, your co-host. That was pretty much the end of it.
Okay, thank you, sister. Let me say this to everybody again. It's been a wonderful show tonight. We still have more time. We still got about 10 minutes here, but I want to get off a few subjects to where everybody knows, so when you call back in. Next, this coming, what's the day, Thursday, Saturday, we're going to talk about, since we're on the subject of Joe Biden, is he doing a great job for the melanin people? That sister Robson just spoke about melanin. I'm going to start using that word more so now myself because, like I said, black means to lack. It takes to be off, you got what? Lack. You lack it. I'm already in all this. Y'all just, again, I'll be waiting for others to talk like that. Then when you say black, it is a Hispanic word meaning Negro, dead or half alive. Okay, y'all, let's look it up. Okay, so sister, you're absolutely right. Okay, I'm there with you. So now, let's put it like this is furthermore. But when you say melanin, everybody knows that it's through melanin, and that's what keeps us charcoal, as they call us, through the equator. That's why we didn't burn up in the equator. The hardest part of the world is over in Africa, our Kibu land, the land of the dark-skinned people. So again, Sister Robinson, I am there with you all the way. Now, having said that, y'all, you also spoke about, Sister Robinson, the fraternal order of police. Now, let me tell you something. The fraternal order of police, as you just stated earlier, was created by this old white supremacist named Deborah Nagel and Martin too. You know, they founded the Fraternal Order of Police on May 14, 1915. So again, you're absolutely right. Watch this one. This was a fraternal order of ex-police officers and former and current ones that are designed to keep one another abreast as to watching one another's back as far as a part of the slave patrol system. You know, this was created for the sake of bringing blacks back into slavery, or back on bondage. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you got it. Now you're talking to me. Right. So the purpose of that was to make sure that blacks were not given a hands up or basically a hold in society as far as independence was concerned. Now then, after the Emancipation Proclamation, which again we know did not was only good on paper alone, which we know did not free us, the whole point of the matter was that you had 4 million blacks after the Emancipation Proclamation were set free. Okay, on January 31st, 1965, say, okay, boom, hold up. 4 million back, go out in that free world. Well, a lot of us chose to stay on the slave plantations. Why? Because it frightened us to be walking around so many white people that we already considered devils anyway. Now, let's keep it real. I'm not going to, again, I can't bite my tongue. We already felt that they were demons and idiots and murderers, which they already were, and controlled by the Ku Klux Klan. Watch this one. This is why the Ku Klux Klan activity and other white citizens' councils were so high up in their hanging and lynching of blacks, because they didn't want to run around in society with them. They didn't want to go to the same restaurant with you, the same hotel chain or movie house. Okay? So, again, you're very on point. Again, everybody, we can still, like I say, I want to say a few things, and then we're going to let our audience know before we get off there so that if we do go off, that they would not be surprised. So, again, our fraternal order of police, again, a status as slave control, slave patrol for so-called free and slaves who basically, and regardless of the fact, let me tell y'all something, regardless of the fact, I told you systemic racism, regardless of the fact, y'all, blacks were not ever set free, nor will we ever set free until we set ourselves free. You have to understand that. As long as we consider to continue to be babies, they're going to treat us like babies, okay? They're going to continue to control our communities because we can't control ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So until we tell them, sucker, man, get out of our community, you got to go, we can do it our damn self, then they'll be lost in the sauce. Yeah, that's why they continue to invade upon our privacy and our sanity, because they know if they don't, a black thinker is a weird, crazy intellectual that we need to watch out for. Let me say this, y'all, and then I'm going to have to let everybody know, get ready to get up there. Now, in 1918, watch this here, right after the Emancipation Proclamation, the fraternal organization, the Fraternal Order of Police, which stands for FOP, they became a national organization right after this, y'all. So y'all trying to tell me it wasn't tied in after the so-called Civil War, and they were formed, watch this here, only 22 years after that? Now, come on, y'all. Are we serious? The initial Constitution noted that race, creed, or color should be no bar. That's what they stated, because they could justify the governmental practices and procedures by allowing them to exist, which they have today, by saying that. But as you know, black, even black Masons were not allowed into the black white shrines. That's why they had to call the Prince Hall Masons. They had to get their own Masonic order, because once again, racism is so high and supreme. Let me say this here, and then I'm going to give y'all the floor. Everybody out here, thank y'all for listening to us tonight. Again, we're going into our back room here in about 6 minutes. But before I go, I want to tell you, everybody, again, this is Bob Awitapa right here in Oklahoma City with my co-host, Miat Yubor, right here in Oklahoma City. We are your hosts with the Moses, and we will not tolerate anybody not being able to speak their minds, nor will we get upset at you. If you say you want an apple, and I say the apple looks like an orange, I'm not going to be mad at you, because you have a right to your independence. I don't want a robot following me. I don't want to follow a robot. I want to encourage you so that you can give your thoughts, ideas, and opinions to others to where it matters. So, again, if any of y'all have a great topic for a show tonight, you can all call us at 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. And we are right here in Oklahoma City. We are here as your opinion of the people. It's your ideas and your opinions count. We want to make sure that you know that politically, economically, socially, you are aware and that you matter to us. So let me say this here. If you have a question you want to ask, please go and join us on our Facebook page and Instagram page, Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, where our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. Don't worry about opposing us. Don't worry about having opposing views, because your views are what matter. Again, everybody be nice, be cool. Tell a loved one that you love them, because tomorrow may be too late. So again, if we don't hear back from y'all after the show goes off the air, I see we got about 6 minutes. If we don't speak before the show goes off, y'all know that we love you, we appreciate you, and we want y'all to have the best outstanding life that your possibility of life will offer. So again, we're going to say that again. Thank y'all very much, and we're going to ask. I just saw somebody want to pop up. Waving their hand. We're going to give you opportunity to speak a couple of minutes here before we go off. Go ahead, 323. Who are you? Go ahead.
Yeah, my name's Joe. I was here last week.
Oh, Joe, okay.
I wanted to find out.
Okay.
Hey. So the topic is systemic racism. Okay,
that's
too
right.
Bad I came in here a little bit too late.
Yeah.
I would like to have found out exactly where is systemic racism very evident in the United States.
Okay. You say you want to find out?
You say where is it evident?
Yeah.
You say where it's evident in the housing industry for sure. Definitely.
Okay. So where's the proof of that?
Oh, yeah. It's all over.
Uh-oh.
Go look at how many. Watch
the
biggest housing problem.
I've already looked it up.
Hold on, man. Now, come on, Sister Robert. What'd you say?
It's everywhere, okay?
Exactly.
Systemic racism is everywhere. You're talking about colonization, okay?
Whoa.
Materialization, imperialization, materialization, criminalization, okay?
Mm.
Neocolonialism. Okay, I can go on and on and on. How can you not see it if you live here in America?
That's right.
If you look at
ma'am.
The tribunal, the America
all
has
right,
been
you mentioned all the isms.
A lot of
so
right.
Nobody's
a lot
answered
of
the question.
Okay.
No, I answered your question.
Where's the statistics? Where are the figures?
No, you
where's
you
the proof?
Your question,
so
your question,
much.
Sir. Sir, your question. His question was, where is it evident? Where is it? Where do you see? All this other stuff is coming afterwards. He's adding on to it.
Your question is,
where is evident? And I made it clear. Look in the housing sector. Donald Trump denied
that's not mandated. Okay, let me tell you guys something. When you want to prove a case, you actually
hold it. Wait a minute before you start, brother. I want to ask that question for you. Before you start, hold on. We still got time. We go in our back room. You asked the beast in the field a question. I'm ready for the challenge. Watch this one. Now then, we're talking about the discrimination in the wealth. Whites are 72% of the Earth's population. Watch it now. You ask this question. Get ready.
Whites are 72% of the Earth's population, yet they own 90% of the wealth here in the United States. Blacks are 13% of the nation's population, and they own 2.6% of the nation's wealth. African Americans are two times likely to be unemployed than whites are. In education, black students are three times likely to be suspended for same infractions by other students. In the criminal justice system, blacks make up 13% of the general population, but 40% of the prison population. 18% of blacks own only 4% of fewer rental houses than whites do. In surveillance, blacks are 30 times likely to be pulled over by the police in general area and municipal areas of the United States. In healthcare, we are 67% of doctors have bias against African Americans when they ask their patients. Do I need to go on to your question?
Yeah, you do. And here's why. What you've stated are the disparities between black wealth and white wealth. If whites are 72% of the population, then they're going to own more.
90% to 2%, my brother? Whoa. 90% to 2%, really?
Why not? You can't have an equal disparity simply based upon certain numbers, 72 versus 13. You have to take a look at the talent. You have to take a look at the resources, the ambitions, et cetera.
Systemic racism
means that there was a concerted effort. For example, if 10 blacks went for a job, 10 blacks went for a job and 10 whites went for a job, and then you always get six whites getting hired versus four blacks.
People will say that's racist.
Yeah, that's why you have to have affirmative action hires, huh?
You don't get that many, brother, man. I don't know where you
have
them.
You have to understand what statistics are and how they're applied.
Okay, so why do they have affirmative action hires then?
Don't talk to us like we're stupid.
The disparities black, white, Hispanic, et cetera, types of wealth does not mean that there's systemic racism. There could be, but it doesn't mean that
Go ahead, Mayotte. What'd you say? Let Mayotte speak. Hold on.
What are the statistics?
Hold on, just a minute, sister. Go ahead and read it to him since he want to know statistics. Because that wasn't his question in the beginning. His question was, where is it evident? And we've answered that multiple times. What statistics are you going to give us?
No, listen to him, y'all, brother. Hold on.
I'm going to add to what, you know, the gentleman and the lady said just, you know, not too long ago. We have given too much evidence to back up the claim of systematic racism being embedded in this country already on this call. There's not much more to say, honestly.
Then I got news for you. That is not evidence.
I've already explained what those claims are. Go ahead, man.
If you look at what's built in this country, we have already given enough evidence within this call, let alone the constant evidence that they've been putting on this so-called news that they think they're kind of monitoring, but they're actually giving up, you know, their whole entire plan right there plain as day. I'm within the middle class area, so I see it from my point of view, and I also all the points of view that from every African descendant that goes through the systematic racism, you know, track, not wanting to, you know, actually wanting to succeed in life, actually wanting to establish business and things for themselves, have to deal with on every single level. There is no, oh, well, that's not true. Look at all the evidence that we have already presented now. Look at the evidence that they put out here when it's time for us to say we need reparations, when it's time for us to establish homes and businesses, how we are put at the lowest totem pole and we are thought about last.
You know what I mean? And how our neighborhoods, when we ask for funding, we have to damn near beg, like, can you help? You know what I mean? When other people can go up in there and say, hey, I need this and this for this. It can be a crock of bullshit, and they still get the money to establish their neighborhoods